Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
You know, I'm looking out at you, and you look like a pretty tough audience.
You're kind of hard to reach. For many of you, English is not your first or second or even third language. And so I know that I stand here and I try desperately to do something that only the Holy Spirit can do. Because I want to speak to you so that you understand. But too often I'm told that my jokes don't translate very well. You know, many of you just kind of sit here and you've gotten up in the morning. It's been tough. You know, it's tough to get up in the morning. You made it. Maybe you had a fuss with the kids or your wife or your husband or someone else, but you got here. And now you're sitting here and you're looking at me as though to say, "All right, show me something. Give me something I can use this next week." You're a tough audience. You often fall asleep. You know, and I can see a wife. And from up here, I can see every one of you all the time. If I tend to look at you, it's because I'm seeing what you're doing. Some of you are talking. Some of you are being distracted by other things. And I see it. How do you think that makes me feel? You know, because I'm trying desperately to say, "Thus saith the Lord," and people just don't pay attention. I mean, there's a crying baby, and every head will turn, and they'll look at that crying baby, or someone gets out to go to the toilet, and everybody watches. Just remember that. If you get out to go to the toilet, everybody's going to see you go. Because that's just the way it is. It's hard. You seem to be waiting for a joke. I'm waiting for a joke. Or I'm waiting for a political rant. Or I'm waiting for you to say something about the football team or the baseball team or the basketball team or something like you normally hear at the barber's or the beauty salon, the kind of shallow talk. And you're kind of looking forward to that, maybe. Sometimes we would rather have controversy than just a search for truth. You know, we're just like that. That's kind of the common reactions of any audience you face. You know, one of the things they told us when we were training to be an actor was that, you know, you always looked at someone out in the congregation or out in the theater, and you were to make contact with them emotionally so that they would be drawn in. Most of you do not want to be drawn in. And, you know, I got to thinking about that, and that is what it was like for Jesus. The people that came to Jesus weren't ignorant. They weren't stupid. They weren't lazeabouts. But they wanted to know something. They thought he had something worth saying. And so, that was what he faced. That's what his disciples faced. That's what all of us face. It's what the Old Testament prophets faced when they said, "Thus saith the Lord." Everybody went, "I don't really want to hear that." People do not want to hear. People want to be entertained. And that's just the way we are. So let's submit who we are and what we are, with all of our weaknesses, with all of our struggles, to God. Let's try to hear from Him today. Let us go before Him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we ask that You be with us, that You strengthen us, that You give us the power to carry on. We ask that our attention will be strictly on You, not on the man who stands before them, but on You, Father. May we know that You are the one who loves us, that we have come here to hear Your voice, not the voice of a pastor or a teacher or anyone else, but we've come to hear Your voice. May we know that You love us, and may we glean from the things that drop from Your lips the precious gift that You're ready to give each and every one of us today. Father, if there's anything I would say in my weakness, out of my pain, out of my ignorance, that is not in perfect keeping with Your will, I would not have anyone else remember it again. May it be cast out. But Father, those things that are from You, those things that are true, we ask that You and You alone, would receive all the glory and all the honor. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's read John 1, 43 through 47. John 1, Philip and Nathanael are meeting. It says the following day Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found Him to whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward Him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to Him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to Him, "Rabbi, You are the Son of God, You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And He said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see the heavens open, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You know, the first hearers of the gospel were not pushovers. They weren't gullible or ignorant people. Jesus had a tough job ahead of Him, as did His disciples. But they loved the challenge. They loved the challenge. They embraced the difficulty. And their response established a movement that has continued for over 2,000 years and changed the world. Consider Philip as he became a follower of Jesus. His enthusiasm reached out to Nathanael and declared to Nathanael that they had found the one that they had been waiting for and heard about and knew about, but they had been waiting for so long, all of their lives, For many centuries they had been waiting for this one to come, the Messiah, the one sent by God. As that the prophets had spoken, Philip says to Nathanael was none other than Jesus of Nazareth. They had found him. It was a big deal. I wonder if we have that kind of enthusiasm. Do you have the kind of enthusiasm that goes out into the world and says, you know, the one you've been waiting for, I found Jesus Christ, the one that every human being has been waiting for. I have found him. He has touched me. He has spoken to me. He lives within me. He has come to set us free. You know, Nathanael's reply was not what Philip had expected, but his reply was to throw cold water on everything that Philip said. He said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" This is interesting. Because you see, Philip's response to Nathanael's splash of cold water was not to argue the point, was not to do that. He knew that Nathanael came from Cana, which was a sister city to Nazareth. He knew that. He knew that they were very proud people, that they were prejudiced against the people of Nazareth. He knew that. He knew that they were the kinds of folks who wouldn't necessarily think that anything could come out of Nazareth that was worth anything at all. They believed that. But instead of arguing about it, Philip didn't use that course. You know, too many times it seems like we have listened to people, all kinds of people throughout the ages who've tried to argue people into the kingdom of God. You can't do it. It cannot be done. Because a man convinced against his will is unconvinced still. Philip knew that. Philip knew that you could not simply try to argue someone into the right path. And so what did Philip say? Philip said, "Come and see." You see, Philip was more interested in the message and sharing that message than simply winning an argument. Now, I heard someone say the other day that, I think I was watching the Alamo. It's a John Wayne Alamo. And someone was talking in the midst of their trials and tribulations while the guns came against all the men who were there in the Alamo. And some people's eyes then turned toward God. They turned toward God. And when they turned toward God, the people said, "I believe in the afterlife." And one of the men said, "Well, there isn't anything after death. There's just nothing but worms. There's nothing after death at all." And the man replied to him and said, I can't ever argue with any of you who say things like that. But I believe. I believe. Philip was one who believed. He knew that debate creates winners and losers. But this is not a debate. We're not trying to persuade you of some argument. You know, when I was in cross-ex debate, I would sometimes have the affirmative or the negative. I would sometimes argue for one thing or the other thing. And Jack Urquhart, who became a judge in Houston, was a debating partner I had in cross-ex debate. And we would do terrible things. We would not only argue for atomic weapons or against atomic weapons or whatever, we would listen to the people who were debating us, and we would write down new quotes from the same authorities they quoted. So if someone said, "This is the wonderful thing that the PhD from Rice University has said," and he read the quotation and he read that it was in October of 1963, we would say, "That's wonderful." But see, in 1964, the same professor said, and we would make the counter argument. It was a matter of winning or losing. It didn't make any difference if you had the facts on your side. That's a shameful thing. You know, I was more interested in winning and losing arguments than I was in search for the truth. The truth does not lie in argumentation or debate. The truth lies in faith, in what you receive and what you believe. Too many Christian apologists have taken on the task of trying to herd people into the church with argument. They try to argue people into faith. Philip didn't do that. Philip simply said, "Come and see." Philip knew a man convinced against his will, was unconvinced still. He knew that instinctively. And that is the reason I feel that the best evangelists today are people who come out of their own countries. There are people who speak Spanish, who rise up and they are in that culture and they understand the people. And so they are the ones that go forward and have the greatest bloom shed upon them because of who they're talking to in Spanish or in French or in English. And that is why missionaries always study languages and culture before they go into a foreign country, so that they at least can immerse themselves in the language. They can immerse themselves in the culture before they come to a place where they're to share the great message. Those who have doubts and are outright against the church and against the message of the church, what do we say? Do we argue with them? Or do we simply say, "Come and see"? Come and see our outreach. Come and see not what we say, but what we do. Have you ever thought about that? Have the incredible testimony that you give by what you do, not what you say, but what you do. We say to them, "Come and see. Come and see what we do. Come and see that we have an outreach to all peoples, whether they're from one race or another race, or whether they come from one culture or another culture. We want everyone to know the good news of Jesus Christ. Come and see. Come and see the ways we do it. Come and see the way we give away food every single week. And come and see during the week all the people who bring that food in, who bring it in from grocery stores and who carry it and who get bad backs because they carry too much of it from time to time. But come and see. Come and see when we feed people on Thanksgiving Day. Come and be a part of that. Come and see. Come and see the welcome we have in our church services. Come and hear our teachers speak out of love. Come. Come and see. Come and see us when we're in the early morning or the midday or the evening services. Come anytime and see." Come and see if our love and our worship overshadows our lack of professionalism or slickness. Come and see. Come and see the hearts that are broken and contrite and giving all that they have for God. Come and see. Come and experience. Come and know who we are. When Nathanael did come to Jesus, he experienced the love he knew that God had given him before he even knew who God's Son was, who the Messiah was. It was a love. He was loved while he was under the fig tree. Jesus saw him before he ever heard Nathanael, or Nathanael ever heard Philip call him. He knew. He knew Nathanael's heart before Nathanael ever spoke. It says in verse 51, "And he said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Jesus knows us. He knows us in our weaknesses. He knows us in our triumphs. He knows us. He knows that what lives beneath our frowns. He knows what lives beneath our inattentiveness. He knows what secret questions we have. He knows. He knows how you left your warm beds this morning and came to church. He knows that you came to hear. He knows that is the reason that you came. He knows your strengths and your weaknesses. He knows your prejudices and your sins. He knows His plans and purposes for your life. And He doesn't want to judge you or condemn you. He wants only to embrace you, to fill you with His presence and to allow His experience of grace and love and forgiveness and provision to flow into your life. He wants you to wake up and see the glory that He has prepared for you before the world even was created. He wants you to know Him as He knows you. Come and see. Come and see if He doesn't meet your needs. Come and see if He truly cares for you. Come and leave your preconceived notions behind. Come and experience. The Spirit says come. God says come. The Lord says come. Come down the aisle and see what true forgiveness truly is. Come and receive the healing from His wings. Come and see what God has done and will do in your life.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.